You're on the record with Danae Gibson. It's around 16 degrees in Boorloo, Perth right now. We've had some morning showers and I reckon it is perfect weather to curl up and read a book, especially a moody thriller like Some Shall Break, the latest from one of my favourite Australian writers, Ellie Marney. Welcome back to RTRFM, Ellie.
Hi, Danae. It's lovely to be here.
Congrats on your latest.
Thank you.
Some Shall Break is the sequel to None Shall Sleep. We chatted about that in 2020. Gosh, that seems so long ago. It's a fascinating thriller set in the 1980s about Emma and Travis, two young people tasked with interviewing juvenile serial killers. We talked about the unusual aspect of young people as perpetrators and not just victims when we chatted about None Shall Sleep. Why the sequel?
I think I had always pretty much planned a sequel. In fact, I've actually kind of planned it to be three books. So I'm still waiting for the green light from my publisher for book three. But, yeah, that was the original plan in the beginning. But in publishing, you never know how things are going to shake out. So you write the first book, and if it stands on its own, then that's the way it has to go. But luckily enough, None Shall Sleep hit the New York Times bestseller list. So
that's great.
I'm not sure okay about number two.
That New York Times bestseller list is a really important phrase in the world of publishing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty huge. It's kind of like the Olympics for authors, you know. It's like winning the gold medal. It really doesn't happen very often. It's very hard to hit the list. And, you know, especially for a book like None Shall Sleep, it was nearly a year after release before it hit the New York Times list. So
Ooh.
That was even more amazing. Yeah.
How does that work? What was the impetus to it being bumped up the charts, so to speak?
Usually in America, the YA books come out in hardcover. In Australia, that's not the way it goes. We always get paperbacks. I'm not sure. Maybe we can't have nice things. we usually release paperbacks here in Australia, but in the States, their first release is always in hardcover. And hardcover is often a little bit more expensive, of course. So a year later, they released the paperback version, and that was the version that kind of propelled the book up the list, which was pretty cool, yeah.
Well, always learn something when I'm chatting with you, Ellie Marney. The last time we chatted was about Codebreakers, which was so good. We should remind people that you should read Some Shall Break, but start with None Shall Sleep, and then in between, if you want a different time zone, still gore and not gore, but
a little bit of murder here and there.
Yeah, murder and mayhem in between. Then I would definitely recommend that. But then you know,
The Killing Code was my pandemic book. It was the one that I wrote during the pandemic. So I have to say, it was really nice while I was holed up in my home with my partner and children all trying to work remotely, me at the kitchen table. I wrote The Killing Code, and it was nice to go to 1943 and be writing about amazing clothes and, you know, in a completely different mental headspace during COVID.
Which oh, yeah.
Was pretty nice, yeah. And then soon after I finished that one, I got started on book two. I'd already written part of it. And was just waiting to see if the publisher was happy for me to continue writing. That's how I wrote the second book in the None Shall Sleep sequence.
Yeah, so Some Shall Break is back in the 80s. There's a lot of reasons why I like reading about these characters in that time. And one is that I'm old enough to remember the 80s. But I don't think that's important. I love the way you share, I think rather gently, Ellie, stories about the technology and even the tastes and styles of that time without hitting us over the head. Not that I would expect you to, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, I try to just sprinkle through details about the time period And, you know, 1982 is considered historical fiction now, which alarmed me when my publisher first told me that, but yes, it's true. So, you know, I just try and put in a little bit about the clothes and the music and the cars, you know, there's all of that kind of location detail, I guess, or scene setting. You don't want to hit people over the head with it. You just want to sprinkle it through. And it made a huge difference for forensic investigation, setting it in that time period.
You don't want to hit them over the head because there are other weapons in the book that people hit each other over heads with.
True.
Some of the historical fiction is not, well, it's not fiction. It's how we deal with trauma and recovery from violence, and there's some really heavy themes sewn throughout, isn't there?
Yeah, look, I wrote None Shall Sleep, and because the story is about a girl who has survived being abducted by a serial killer and is then recruited by the FBI to interview teenage serial killers, I did get a lot of questions from readers in that first, after that first book, saying, well, why didn't you give us, like, the full backstory of what happened to Emma Lewis, this girl who's, you know, like, kind of like a real-life final girl? And my initial reaction was like, well, we see a lot of that already on the news. I didn't want to go... It kind of felt disrespectful to the character to give, like, a full-blown, you know, account of all the gory details of what had happened to her. We knew that something horrifying had happened to her, but I just didn't think we needed... And I gave a few little hints here and there to show how it affected her psychologically, and it's how much of an important part of her psychological makeup it was. But then in this second book, because Emma and her partner, Travis Bell, who's a US Marshal candidate, are dealing with a person who's copycatting in this, you know, hit their crimes are similar to the ones that Emma experienced. It was an important part of the story that we kind of get a look back at what Emma went through and how she was coping and how she was dealing with it. I mean, I tried to be as realistic as I could with those, that information about trauma recovery. I did have the help of a trauma therapist, a specialist trauma therapist from the UK, who kindly looked over the manuscript and offered me some advice about how to make improvements. But yeah, I mean, she's just an average girl, and she's trying to cope with her memories of this event and the impact that it's had on her. And, you know, I wanted to show that she does have a relationship with a therapist, that she has techniques and strategies that she uses to deal with things, including medication, and that sometimes things just get really overwhelming as well.
I must say, Ellie Marnie, I did catch myself thinking, how would you portray that in the screen version of this series? And then I just wrapped myself over the knuckles with something soft and went back to reading. any nibbles on that front?
Well, we've had a few nibbles, yes. I'm going to have to keep my mouth shut on that element because we're still in negotiations and things like that. So, but look, if something exciting happens, you'll be the first to know.
Thanks so much. I think it's like those who are finishing their PhDs, you don't ask about how long and what the answers are, because it's a really long process.
Oh, it's amazing to me that, you know, film and TV things even happen. I mean, seems like something out of this world, you know.
Ellie Marnie, it's so good to talk with you. I just want to ask you one last question before I let you go back to whatever it is. What are you reading at the moment?
What am I reading at the moment? Mm-hmm. I'm actually reading heaps of horror books. Does that sound weird? I mean...
A little bit.
None Shall Sleep did win an Aurealis Award for Best Horror Novel, which was pretty cool. So I've started writing what looks like it's turning into a horror story. So I've been reading a lot of amazing books. I've been reading Stephen Graham Jones, who wrote a book called My Heart is a Chainsaw, which is basically like a slasher. And I'm reading How to Sell a Haunted House by Grady Hendrix, which is both terrifying and hilarious. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not reading either of those.
Oh, go on. Go out on the limb.
No, you're as deep and dark as I get at the moment. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ellie Marnie is the author of Some Shall Break, among many other things, and it is published by Allen and Unwin.